particularly the National Treasury, who of course are here to take us through the bill. Now, one of the items on the agenda, as you know, is the program for the rest of this quarter, at least when it comes to the Finance Committee. And we're unable to finalize the program because of one particular issue, which is the limited time we have to process the public procurement bill. So we have been in touch with the Legal Services Unit to seek an extension. I raised this in the first instance, NT, please note, because Frank Jenkins is in the other meeting looking at the very same issue of the two-pot system. And he would prefer that we put this item first on the agenda. It's linked to the item on the program because this letter, which I have canvassed with the opposition parties, and they'll speak for themselves, but we also had a study group this meeting this morning of the ANC, and we're agreeing with it. So I think that the letter's been distributed. Has everybody got it? And Frank's going to... Is Frank... Frank, are you here? Is Frank here, dear?
Not yet, Chair.
Oh, dear. All right. Well, anyway, let's go through the letter. And then basically there might be a need to change. You'll see it says draft letter, a word or two, and I think you can mandate the committee chair to process it. Okay. It says a draft letter to be considered. The committee secretary made a mistake by saying it's been sent. It can't be sent, obviously. Chairperson doesn't have a mandate to do this. But I have conferred, obviously, with the House Chair for Committees and with the NCOP Chief Whip, who deals overall with the program. So I'm not going to cover everything. Are we all on board, by the way? Has everybody got the letter? I take it, since nobody's saying no, you have the letter.
We've received the letter about 10 minutes ago, yeah,
because it had to be processed. And you know, we don't have to vote on it. We're seeking consensus on it. Parties have been alerted to it yesterday. And basically, it's permission requested to extend the eight-week cycle for the processing of, let's call it the PP bill, in accordance with Rule 219, right? And then I write on behalf of the committee seeking that request in accordance with the rule. The rule requires Section 76 bills to be dealt with in a manner that will ensure that provinces have sufficient time. Provides that depending on the substance of the bill, which is the main point, the period for consideration of the bill is at least 8 weeks. It says at least 8 weeks. The wording here is mostly from Frank. The rest of it is obviously political, as you can see in arguments. Finally, the rule provides that in the event that the substance of the bill requires sufficient time beyond the 8 weeks period, the cycle may be extended with the approval of the chairperson of the council. That's Mr. Masondo. And then I point out that it's been passed on the 6th of December, then referred to us at its constituency time, as you know. And we started with the bill immediately. We came back. There were substantial changes made at the last minute, which we know, including procurement experts and others made some formidable arguments for the need to amend clauses in the bill. And we obviously need more time for that. Then there's also constitutional challenges possibly. However, as you know, Chairperson, we write, often when people or organizations disagree with some or other aspect of a bill on policy grounds, they threaten to take the bill to the courts. At this stage, the Senate Committee is unable to conclude whether any aspect of the bill is unconstitutional or not. Now here, the issue is, we're not legal experts. Frank Jenkins and them are. And at times, we've gone outside the parliament to seek expert advice if we have to. So we don't really know whether it's political or really constitutional or both. It doesn't really matter. The point is, we need some time. And it was negotiated NEDLAC. And while we respect NEDLAC's process, ultimately, obviously, in terms of the constitution, it's parliament that decides on a bill. And obviously, the National Treasury is very stretched. And we had to postpone our meeting of 8 March to 14 on the request of the minister because they were briefing the provinces. National Treasury must take responsibility for this ultimately, not the NA. They took years in the making. I'm not referring to specific staff present here, but, and it doesn't help that we had constant changes of ministers. But we are where we are, and so we have to deal with the issue as best as we can. Now, of course, I also point out that we serve on two major committees, appropriations and finance, and appropriations has got these three bills. We have to process two tax-related bills apart from the PP bill. Members of all parties are being put under pressure to also make themselves available for the election campaign, and they are not as available to the committee as they otherwise are, obviously. Right, we'll only be briefed on the 14th of March, then we can start deliberations. The 8-week cycle ends on the 22nd of March. It would be immensely difficult for us to process the bill by then. We understand that then they will have a plenary sitting in April and another in May, and we are confident that we can process the public procurement bill in good time for the NEA to deal with any amendments. Taking into account that there is a constituency period from 2nd to 15 April, and of course, the election campaigns moreover, we request that you kindly consider an extension for us to process the bill by the end of April. So, in short, the request is based on 8 points: the complexity of the bill, the major changes made to the bill by the NA, the strong case made for changes to the bill at the Select Committee hearings, the need for more time for consultation and public participation, fifth, the same members serve on both committees, sixth, the need to seek advice on the constitutionality, seven, the request by the minister to postpone the meeting last week, and that's a week lost, and eight is the summary, the lack of availability of members of all parties. We have raised these issues with both the NCOP chief whip and the House chairperson of committees, and they agree with our request. The letter has been drawn up after full consultation with the legal services unit. We request your approval in terms of NCOP Rule 219. You see, these are the glitches in this thing, because I was given the wrong reference earlier, and it was understood as a mistake. That's looking at the, sorry about that. That's looking at the old rules, and it's been changed. And we will, I mean, the technical side, Frank will go through and sort out, but that's the basic thrust of it. Okay, over to members. Who wants to say what? Any hands up? Let's see. Nkululeko, help me. There's Dennis, of course. Anybody else? I'd like, if possible, we would like, if possible, for this to be done consensually. And so if the Freedom Front and the EFF, oh, I see, want to say something, that'll be good. I know Mr. Moletsane was saying that he's completely absorbed in the campaign, so he may not be here. He wasn't opposed to it, but he wasn't for it either. He didn't say yes or no. He just said, look, basically, it seemed to me, is he here? That he was too preoccupied with the election campaign to give considered
Yes, sir.
thoughts.
Yes,
Okay,
yeah.
all right, fine. So can we go to Dennis and can we go to Fani?
Sure, thanks very much, Chair. From my side, no problem with the letter. In fact, I think it's a good thing. Deepens democracy, and especially because of the material changes that were made to that draft
Yeah.
bill. Sorry, to the bill that was approved. So we welcome that. Chair, but I do want to just make a request which is kind of associated to the process as well, and to say, yeah, look, we all have these ridiculous demands on our time at this time of the cycle, and please advance notice as far as possible of meetings would be greatly appreciated, because we are making various plans and we are being in different areas, often without
Yeah,
cell signal and connectivity. So whilst I understand your difficult situation and the fact that meetings are having to be called in order to and the timing is dependent on other factors that are outside of your control, I do certainly appreciate that. If we can just have quite an open discussion and say, look, we're planning this for this date. It's not yet approved, but block the time out so long. It really will help the committee do its work, because the last thing that I think you need is to end up with a meeting with no quorum, etc. So that's a plea from my side. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, 1,000% agreement with you, 1,000%. No, in fact, that'll come up later. Let's deal with the bill and the rest elements. We will let you have the program, in fact, tonight. We're waiting for this approval, and then we can change things around. So yes, for all our sakes, not least my own, I come from a, let's put it this way, ANC vulnerable province, KZN, and my region, like many of the other parties, we're all under huge pressure. And the powers that be are aware of that. Okay, good. But we have to do our job here too. And Zoom meetings mean we can be based in our constituency. Maybe, Dennis, what strikes me, and I'm doing this openly, and I will raise it with my own chief whip, or at least the NCOP chief whip, we should put pressure that the plenary sittings we managed in a way that we might as well have long plenary sittings where we come in and sit rather than too many. For example, I have raised this before, for us to come in last week for one day. I mean, really. I mean, people coming from Polokwane, Umsundusi, is going to take two flights, a few flights, Kimberley, I don't know how many flights, Mangaung. It's very unfair, really. Plus, we're running out of tickets. So can you put pressure on your chief whip? I will raise it again with our chief whip. I've raised it before. This idea of coming to Cape Town for one sitting a week. I mean, really. So we can maybe meet late at night and finish plenaries fewer so that we can be based. I told my region, just to give an example, I'm immensely frustrated at what's going on here. I tell my region, comrades, you know what? They say, well, but even sitting in Zoom meetings is eating into time. So in short, Dennis, I 1,000% agree, but like all politicians, we open our big mouths and do nothing. Let's put pressure on our respective whips. Okay, Fanny, over to you. 100% agree with you. 1,000%, sorry. You can be my spokesperson on this issue. No, sorry, Fanny.
Thank you, Chair. And yes, I just want to say, as discussed yesterday, I fully support the letter. And as mentioned in the WIPRI meeting since last year, we feel that the amount of legislation that's just been steamrolled through is too much for the NCOP to handle at this stage and to enable us to play our oversight role effectively. And I think that this letter is a step in the right direction to enable not only us, but also the public sector to engage and to partake in a responsible manner. Thank you, sir.
Oh, good. Okay, thank you. Simon, are you here? Let me see.
Yes, I'm here, Chairperson.
Oh, sorry, I became your EFF spokesperson. Right.
Yeah, not yet, Chairperson. Not yet.
Sorry.
As long as we are informed in time, Chairperson, because our hands are tied.
Yeah. No, we agree 1,000%.
As we are informed in time, then we'll have we will try our own stream.
No, you'll get the program tonight.
We still have to serve the community.
Yeah, good. Now,
thank you.
Let me tell you, our committee secretary, to be fair to him, gave me the program. Some of it looked horrific because it meant we will sit from 10 to depending on the time that the House rose, for another 3 hours, right? And that's killing also. So there is another practical thing that's occurred to me. It only happened to me this morning. You see, the buses that leave from the parliamentary villages leave at 12:30. I had noticed that, but it struck me, nobody's raised with me, why do we meet from 10 to 1? Why not from 9:30 to 12:30? And colleagues, I think we should just do it like that. You know, a lot of us get endless emails, and now with the campaign and so on, you know, you're getting endless WhatsApps. I think 9:30 is reasonable. 9:30 to 12:30, is that agreeable? So that the people taking the buses from the cut across political parties from the parks don't get clipped off in the last half an hour or battle with connectivity. Nobody raised it. It only struck me this morning suddenly. Okay, so are we agreed 9:30 to 12:30 in future all meetings?
Jeff, I can come in, please.
Yeah, sure.
So two things. Number one, look, I don't have a big problem with 9:30, although, you know, I don't think the public needs to know should be worried about the fact that we've got buses at certain times. There's a bus at 8 o'clock, and you know, there are offices and libraries and available spaces at Parliament where we can sit and take meetings and so on. So, you know, it's the bus to Parliament should not be something that holds us back.
I'm just raising it. If the majority I prefer 10, but you know, I'm cool. Whatever people feel. Anybody else got a view on that matter?
I don't have a big problem with 9:30. Let's go for it. But main point that I wanted to make, Chair, related to your comment about the plenaries and the fact that we have these one a week situations, which I also believe is not constructive. And in fact, it's going to push us towards more and more people participating virtually, which is not good for democracy because of the fact that we were voting on controversial and important bills. You know, and when you see a name and an avatar on Zoom and then the hand goes up to vote, you know, there's all sorts of audit questions that come in with that. So I'm in agreement with you. I think a slightly more concentrated program But I definitely believe we should be meeting in person and not virtually for our plenary meetings for these contentious bills specifically, or otherwise looking for a roll call system. That's not for you and I to discuss, but I do think it's important for those that sit on the planning, the programming committee to take up on our behalf. Thank you, Chair.
All right. If that's agreeable, maybe I should write a letter on behalf of the committee as a whole with a request of this sort. Secondly, in Nkululeko, we will need to write an accompanying letter with this one we're sending to the NCOP chairperson. Or maybe we should wait. I'll consult before we get approval. I'm just saying we asked for this approval, and so you've got more latitude, more time to process bills. Don't rush, right? Which is something I had raised with the powers that be at the beginning, but we had to negotiate with the NA. You can't blame the NCOP because they were supposed to close down on the 28th of March. Okay, that took 2 weeks. It's beyond my control or anybody's control here. But in our legacy report, we need to raise this thing. Every five-year cycle, I think the NCOP gets the problem we currently have. Okay, good. Thanks. We're done with this thing. Frank, are you here? Oh my God, he asked me his item. Maybe they're using him in the other committee for legal opinions or whatever. All right, fine. It doesn't matter. We agree. What I will do is send it to him to look carefully at it. Like I typed the wrong number, the old rule 40. And so, and that he'll sort out. But we're agreeing on this thing. It's minuted now. Right. Can we go back to Chris and come back to the program? Okay, because I've got some other ideas. Which I think may work so that we don't lose time sitting in endless meetings. Right. Let's move on quickly to the next item. Well, the first item now, we're dealing with the bill, revenue laws. Can we move on that? Chris, are you here or your team? And or your team? I see Cleopatra is here. Are you taking us through the bill, my friend? I only see you and...
Good morning, okay, Chair. Right.
Let's go for it. Let's go.
Yes, good morning, Chair. My name is Ntlantla from National Treasury. I'm not sure if Basil can share the slides. Who's actually going to take us through all the slides quickly? Okay. Okay, the first.
Hello, okay, are you there?
Yes, apologies, Chair. Had the network connections. Okay,
yeah,
the
first I know, I understand. Okay, as long as you're there, my friend, good. Let's go for it.
Okay, the first slide, I'm just going to take you through the first slide, and then Basil, my colleague, is going to come in here. This one is just to say that we have split the two bills between the RLAB, which is the Revenue Laws Amendment Bill, and the Pension Laws Amendment Bill, and that we actually published this bill on 9 June 2023. We then had we had to brief the Standing Committee on Finance on the 29th of August, and then subsequently to that we had the workshops as well, and then after the workshop we then presented a response document to the Standing Committee on Finance on the 25th of October. Then we then briefed the Select Committee on Finance on the 21st of November. And then the bills were tabled by the minister on the 1st of November, 2023. And then my colleague now, Basil, is going to take us through the entire two-port regime. Thank you, Chair. Next slide, please.
Sorry, apologies, my computer is freezing. Thanks, Chair. Thanks, honorable members. Just an apology from Chris. He's in another committee meeting. I think he should be joining us shortly. So I think what we are going to start off with is what we presented basically last year. I think in the last slide, you are going to explain what the changes that have been implemented since we last presented to the committee. So I think there have been quite a number of reforms that we embarked on since 2012. And the first one I want to mention is the uniform treatment of the different retirement funds. So before, Provident Fund, Retirement Annuity Fund, or Pension Fund had its own individual tax treatment that we harmonized, I think, in 2016. And then the other changes that were brought in as part of the retirement reform was we brought in default regulations for retirement funds. And then we wanted to increase the preservation. We initially proposed a hard preservation, but I think that was changed. And then we, in the default regulations, we introduced something that's going to make it a bit more difficult for fund members to just take their money on resignation. Then we wanted to lower charges and improve governance of funds. Lower charges in the sense that funds do tend to impose very high penalties or charges on retirement funds, which end up eating away from the benefit that the fund member is entitled to. That we also wanted consolidation of funds. At the moment, we have a lot of funds that are very difficult to supervise for the Financial Services Conduct Authority. And then at the moment, we're dealing with the two-pot system, which is a major reform in our view. So what this two-pot system is trying to address is the lack of preservation. So at the moment, when people resign from their jobs, they take away what's in their retirement fund and start afresh. And then secondly, is that retirement funds are the only savings vehicle a lot of workers have. So whenever they are short of something or there's an emergency that comes along, they then fall back onto the retirement fund by resigning. So this two-pot system is trying to address those two problems by creating a savings component within a retirement fund. So the basic frame of the retirement regime is not going to change. So it was always an EET system where there's an exemption on contribution, an exemption on the growth, and taxation only takes place at the end when somebody withdraws from a retirement fund. And then a further background to our retirement, two-pot retirement system. I thought the basic structure of the retirement regime is going to remain as it was before. So this is going to be a deduction up to 350,000 rands, and then 27% of taxable income, whichever is the higher of the two. And then there's, in the Pension Funds Act, there's Section 37D deductions. So there would be, because the two-pot system splits your fund members, a member's fund into savings pot, retirement pot, and vested pot. So the Pension Fund Pension Fund Act has to determine from which components any deductions are supposed to take place from. And then any contributions that are made on behalf of a member but you know, that's the member himself or the employer will be deductible. And then any area contributions towards the member, excuse me, to a pre-implementation date will be allocated in the respective, will be subject to applicable rules in the current regime. And then any area contributions that relate to post-implementation period will be allocated in the respective components, the savings or the retirement components. Excuse me, I think I've got something on the way. I can't read properly. Excuse me, a moment. So basically, what the two-pot system does is create as a starting fund a seed capital. That seed capital is going to come from what we call a vested component of the retirement fund. The vested component would be what is there on the 31st of August 2024. It will be a contribution that's going to be 10% or 30,000 rands, whichever is the lower of the two. So that will be the seed capital that goes into the savings component. It will come from the vested component, like I said. And then I think another thing that I need to point out, I think the reference to the date that's referenced on the slide is 1st March 2025. I think I'm going to highlight it and what the changes are. One of those changes is that date. So these are basically what we presented to the committee last year. So out of the savings component, and a member can withdraw a minimum of 2,000. There's no maximum. And a member can only withdraw once in a tax year. And whatever is withdrawn would be taxed at the marginal tax rate of that particular individual. And then if a member of a fund passes away, beneficiaries can either take a lump sum or transfer whatever is in the savings component to the retirement component or get an annuity. And then the second component that's going to be created out of the new system is the retirement component. So into the savings component, one-third of the member's contribution goes into that. And then into the retirement component, two-thirds of the contributions go into the retirement component. So this retirement component is going to be locked up in the sense that a fund member will not be able to make a withdrawal on resignation from the retirement component. It will be preserved in that sense. So at the end, at retirement, that retirement component is going to be subject to the current rules in terms of the de minimis. So the de minimis, if you have in your retirement component an amount that's less than 165,000, you can the fund can give you a lump sum. But if it's more than 165,000 rands, it has to create an annuity payment for the fund. So I think they said there's no there's no withdrawal from the retirement component. So it's only accessible at retirement. And if somebody departs from South Africa or changes their citizenship, then that component of the retirement component will be subject to the 3-year rule that's there in the Income Tax Act at the moment. And then I mentioned the vested component. This is what will be there on the 31st of August 2024. So out of that vested component will take what's going to be called a seeding amount into the savings component. So once the regime comes into effect, the members will no longer be able to make contributions to their vested pot. It's going to be ring-fenced, but there will be growth on what's in the vested component. So, something is on the way. I can't read my slides. So there will be those who are 55 years, or more, on the 1st of March 2025, and who are members of the Provident Fund, would be given an option whether to participate in the two-pot system or not. The reason behind that is that I think when we introduced the annuitization program in 2021, they were close to retirement. So if they contribute into the two-pot system, they're not going to be contributing to that component for a long time, but they do have that option of participating should they so wish. So I think I've mentioned the vested pot that it's going to be ring-fenced. And I think another thing I need to mention about the vested pot is that when somebody in future, after 1st of September 2024, resigns from their employer, they will be entitled to take what's in the vested pot as a lump sum, just as they have that right at the moment. And then for defined benefit funds, the structure is going to be slightly different, because I think the benefit in a defined benefit fund is not based on contributions, but it's based on a formula. So it's going to be slightly different, but I think it will work out to more or less an equivalent system with respect to defined contribution funds. And then we are going to have an exemption on the two-pot system when it comes to what's called legacy retirement annuity funds. These are funds that have an insurance product at the back. So it will be difficult or very costly for the fund members to unwind those legacy policies. So we said we should rather have an exemption on such funds. But those exemptions will not be automatic. The funds would have to prove to the FSCA that they have such funds, which would be difficult to unwind. So basically, they have a life policy that's backing the retirement annuity, and it will be costly for a fund member to have the retirement annuity unwinded. And then transferability of funds. I think the system is built such that there will be an ability to transfer between certain components. So for instance, one can transfer from a savings component to a retirement component, or from a vested component to a retirement component. You cannot transfer from a retirement component to a savings component, because that would be an easy way of getting money out of system. So basically, I think this is what is allowable in terms of transferability between funds. So what changes have we done since last year? So the effective date has been moved to the 1st of September this year. And then we changed the ceiling amount from 25,000 to 30,000 rands. And then we allowed that provident funds who are 55 years and older as of the 1st of March 2021 shall by default be excluded from the two pots regime. And they can opt in should they so choose. And then the proposed definition of legacy retirement fund was contained in the draft. The legislation was amended to include the unique features of legacy retirement, legacy policies. I think we've also amended the Pension Funds Act. I think my colleagues were in SCOF meeting that started at 9 o'clock, I think, presenting on amendments to the Pension Funds Act. So that amendment in the Pension Funds Act were necessary in order to allow certain deductions. The two-pot system creates these three components. So the Pension Fund Act has to recognize those three components so it's known by a retirement fund from which component a deduction can be made from. For instance, when somebody has been dismissed due to fraud, the fund has to know from which fund, which of the components, the savings, the retirement, or the vested component, a deduction has to be made in order to address whatever fraud issues or whatever deduction that needs to take place. These deductions could also be the so-called 37D deductions, housing, divorce, maintenance orders. I think that's all from me. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Okay. Shall we throw it open to committee members? We have had a briefing before on this late last year. And am I correct, my friend from National Treasury or anybody else? All parties agreed to this bill. Is that correct?
Yes, Chair, they did agree.
Okay. Right. Anyway, over then to members. Any hands up? Let me see. Moletsane. Yes, Comrade Moletsane. Go ahead in the meanwhile. I don't see any other hands up.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning to everyone. Let me acknowledge the presentation. I just want to check Chairperson with the presenters, because we are seeing that those workers who have reached 55 on the 1st of March 2021, is it an assumption that those workers they won't be in need of that two-pot system? Are we not, or are they not discriminating those members? Because what if they really, really need to be part of the two-pot system? because now automatically they are now excluded. They have to apply in order to be included. So I think that they are discriminated because unless maybe I may be they can convince me to say that yes, maybe there's a bit of a research that we did that says most of those people that were above 55 by 1st of March 2021, their research says that most of them they opted that they won't be in need of that, or there's just been an assumption that they might not be in need of that. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay, who's next? I don't see any other questions. If that's the case, sorry. Yes, I don't see any other hands up. Sorry. Okay, I can't see any other hands up, Nkululeko. Can you? No. All right. Then
okay, there are no hands.
Okay, so now we have to come back to your National Treasury. We will shape the program by tonight. It depends on our discussion later now, under item six, is it? Yeah, item six. Okay, thank you very much for now. there is just one question I have to ask before we go. I just remembered. So this two-pot system, am I clear? Does it apply only to those who have accumulated a certain amount in the pension that they have? And if they have above this maximum amount, then they can't participate in the two-pot system? Or can anybody, a rich businessman also, participate in the two-pot system? Can I get some clarity on that? Excuse me. Hello, Treasury. Have they gone?
Okay, thank you, Chair. Sorry, maybe I'll just come in. Sorry, morning, Honorable Chair, morning, Honorable Members. Sorry, we were just in the other committee as well. Thanks.
Yeah, and your colleagues.
Yeah, today. I'll have a quick go at those two questions, and then maybe my colleagues can come in quickly as well. So what if members are above 55, but they want to be part of the two-pot system? So they can apply to be part of it. We actually initially put them in the system and we got a lot of comments saying no, but they still have a lot of vested rights in those provident funds that they are a part of if they are over the age of 55. For example, they can take the full amount of their fund without taking an annuity. They can just take it as cash. So we changed the default to say that they're not in after the comments we received in a previous version of the bill. But if they want to be part of it, then they can just apply and they will be part of it and they don't need to, and they can be part of it. They can't reverse their decision once it's done though. On the second question, yes, this is for everyone, Chair. So regardless of income, it relates to your future contributions. So for all individuals, other than those that are over 55 in the Provident Fund who don't want to be part of it, and for legacy retirement annuity funds, future contributions will then be part of this two-pot system with no limits on what your accumulated values are. Thank you, Chair.
Can I raise a follow-up question? It wasn't ambivalent to me, at least wording, but it struck me, why would a rich person be in sudden financial trouble and want to take part of their pension? I can't think. I just, you know, I thought that the rationale for this bill originally was the considerable pressure, especially with the increasing cost of living and so on. And the more people take from their retirement funds, the less is available for circulation of the money for investment and economic growth and so on. I mean, why would a super rich business person want to dig into their savings, into the retirement funds, into their pension? They can do, I'm sure they have a multiplicity of investment accounts and so on. So it's not just for the poor and working people generally. You know, it's for everybody. I don't really know that I agree, but hey, that's just my personal view. What if somebody said to you they don't agree? What would your reply?
So
for the reasons I've hinted at.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Chair. So in that savings pot, you know, we're not saying that people must take that amount out. They should keep it in, as you say. If they are wealthy, they can keep it in if they want. And we're not changing anything in relation to the current system. So in the current system, they can also contribute and just leave it in there until retirement. So we're not giving wealthier individuals any additional benefit compared to the previous
system. No, I understand that. But but I thought if you had a maximum amount in the retirement, which qualifies you to opt for the two-pot system, if it's above that amount, you're not somebody that's hard-pressed that needs to, like, take from your retirement funds. That's what I'm saying. Am I being clear? I don't think I'm being clear, but I think I know what's in my head, but I'm not wording it properly. I wonder if you're understanding me. In other words, I thought originally, it's the first time I'm getting a sense of, you got a maximum amount, right? Below which you can apply the two-pot system, but above which you don't need to. Is that any clearer?
Yes, we haven't done it that way. We haven't proposed it that way, Chair.
Yes,
I think
yes,
we've got one system for all. We didn't want to discriminate either. We just wanted to have a simple...
Discriminate against the rich. Okay. All right, fine. I don't want to dialogue with you. Yeah. I think Thank members you, are not interested in what I have to say. Good. Okay, then we're done. Excuse me. Before you go, Axelson and your team, Chris, what's the story now? You're briefing, you're having public hearings on the NA side with the pension fund amendment, right? And we just need to see, we are worried about managing the public procurement bill at a time when people really are caught up in a major election campaign. So our focus is to finish bills that are finishable quickly and then focus on that. And we need to shape a program. So the question I want to ask you is, at the moment, how many people made public submissions? I mean, how many people made submissions on the public hearings on the pension amendment bill on the side of the NA?
Thank you, Chair. We just did them this morning. I mean, I can see three submissions on
three submissions.
PFA.
And I gather there are three submissions on this bill as well. Is that correct? This one that we're sitting on now.
I'm not sure on that one. Instance, do you know how many people you made on this one?
Oh, no, this one, I think there were about... No, there were about 246 people who submitted, because it included the individuals on this one, Chair.
You mean they had a petition?
Not quite. Individuals were just submitting on their own, mentioning some of the issues in relation to the sitting capital and the fact that they needed to, we need to fast track this bill. So this one, that was around, I think if I recall very well, I think it was 246 or so, from last year.
Okay, in other words, I'm not talking about your gazetted version. I'm talking about how many submissions were made to the NA committee public hearings so that we can get a sense of how many people are likely to come to our public hearings.
It was a lot, Chair.
But sorry, Chris, but in relation to this bill.
So, in other words, 246 people are going to seek.
No, in relation to let me just rephrase that one now. Chair is saying now going forward, I don't think there will be a lot now because the bill was actually initiated. I mean, we published in 9 June last year. We had as well the engagement, I think, subsequent to that. Understanding committee on finance. I think now, possibly going forward, there will be possibly the number, the three that Chris mentioned on the pension one, I also suspect we can possibly get that much now. Thanks, Chair.
Yeah, but on the, on this bill, how many people appeared for oral hearings on the NA side? There's a simple question here. Can somebody answer that simply? How many people and or organizations? How many orals? Okay, let me reword it because we're not talking to each other. How many oral submissions were they made to the NA committee on this bill that we are looking at now, Revenue Laws Amendment? How many oral submissions? You were not there, National Treasury?
No, I'm trying to look as well, Chair. We don't have that number offhand. And Sancho, do you have the number offhand?
No, I was trying to dig it
All
out
right, doesn't
now.
matter. Okay, Nkululeko, can you find out and let the committee know? But it doesn't matter, I suppose, because you, yes, but I mean, was it 3 or 246? That's what I'm asking you. I've never heard of that since 1996, I think, was the last time I heard so many. Truth and Reconciliation Commission, maybe. But anyway, sorry about
that. It wasn't that much. It wasn't that much. There were
in other words, you don't know it was a handful, right? Is that a reasonable answer? Less than 10?
Yes, that's reasonable, Chair.
Less than 10?
I think so, Chair.
Oh, okay. All right. Fine. Thank you. Bye then. Okay. Over to the next
hand, there's a hand from Mosehan.
Sorry?
Ronel.
Sorry?
There's a hand from Ronel from South.
Oh, right. Go ahead, please, Ronel.
Thank you, Chair. And good morning, honorable members and all participants. I just wanted to say that we had a scope of public hearings on pension funds, and which is related to this on two ports. And on that platform, we only had 4 submissions. Thank you. I think that just supports
Okay. Then I know that I was asking about the bill that's here, Revenue Laws Amendment Bill.
Yes, it just supports, it's just a few.
You know, there were a few for the Revenue Laws Amendment Bill as well.
That was pension fund related to this. So it's just follow up on this.
Thank you for that. I'm just asking, Nkululeko, I think the best thing is, can you find out from the secretaries how many people made submissions on the Revenue Laws Amendment Bill on the National Assembly side? Not the public hearings today, the public hearings related to the bill that we are currently looking at. It's called the Revenue Laws Amendment Bill. Will you find out, Nkululeko, and let us know?
Will do so, Chairperson.
Thank you. You get the point, right? It's not about the pension fund bill. It's about this bill, when it was in the NA, because it shapes our outcome of the program to some extent or the other. That's all I want to know. Thank you. By the National Treasury, over to the next item. It's the minutes, right? So you were sent 8 minutes, sets of minutes, and we now start looking at them. So the first one was, you'll have to bear with me because I got it open and not as fast as some of you are. The 2019 minutes. Can't you put the minutes on the screen in the meanwhile? That'll help.
It's then October, the first one, sure.
Yeah, I know. I'm looking for it. I'm going into the folder. There's only folders going to the right. And then here it is. Okay, 8th of October. There it is. No, it's 10th of October. Am I right? 10th of October. Right. Okay. It's easier for me because of my eyesight issues. Right. 10th of October, we had a Zoom meeting, obviously, and the first page has the attendance. The president, may I take this opportunity to apologize? It's beyond my control. Obviously, we cluster minutes. We try to do one set every month. As I said, that's not ideal, but let's not go there. Now, I fell into COVID and I was knocked out for about most of 8 weeks. No, how many weeks was it? 20th of October till the 16th, 17th of December. But I was able to function for at least half the time. So I missed some of the meetings, but this one I was certainly present at. As far as I got knocked out around after the voter registrations, that would have been 20th. Yeah. So this one I was at. Okay. So then it's about the SASFAIR thing, right? Which we've called in every now and then because of its role and the way it manages its funds, which befuddled me in some ways, but there we are. Okay. Any questions on page 3 now? Introduction, etc. Page 2, sorry, right? We're getting down. Page 2, page 3. Anything on page 3? Anything on page 4? Right. We're done. Mover and seconder, please. Can you just vocalize your moving and seconding? There's no need to put your
I
hand
moved.
Up.
Thank I
you.
Moved.
Thank you. Linda moves second.
I second Chair.
Thank you. Thank you. That's 10th of October, right? Excuse me. I've got it all here on this thing. Oh, dear. Put the next one on, please. Right. So this is 2nd of November, right? Right. So Let me open it. Sorry, man, I'm old fashioned, so I must go into my own one. So this was a ministerial briefing, am I right? 2nd of November, right. Now, this was on the 2023 VM. Oh, this is the joint one, is it? Yeah, okay. So can I move, can I sort of move and second it because it's a joint one?
I'll move, Ching.
Thank you very much. That's Fani.
Second, Chair, because Willie Fani is seconding.
That's fine. Oh, right. Okay. Sorry. I got that wrong. I apologize. Okay. The next one is, well, he's not a gentleman like you are. Either. So I don't know how I confused that. 8th of November. Sorry about that. No replies, please. Chairperson rules out any rebuttals. 8th of November.
It's 7, Chairperson.
Oh, dear. Yes, 7. Sorry. Sorry. 7th of November. Yes, here it is. Right. So here we have minutes. Again, it's a joint meeting. Can we have a mover and seconder?
I move, Chair. Mama Rukhane.
I'll second, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you. That's Willie there. Okay. Then we go to 8th of November. It's a Wednesday. Public hearings on the revised fiscal framework thing. This is also a joint meeting. Is it?
Yes, Chairperson, it was a joint with.
Yeah, staff. I think we need to say that at the top, right? So fine. Can we move in seconder?
I'll move again,
sir.
Okay, there are three movers there.
Marakhani moves, Willie really seconds.
That's very helpful. You drink something good. The best thing you've done in 5 years. Okay. Don't remember. Because Marakhani is from the rural areas, with due respect to them. They take long, right? Those of us from the urban areas, we faster. Okay,
I'm from the Kalahari, Chairperson. That's as rural as it gets.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I was joking. Okay, right, fine. 10 people, you say I'm anti-rural and anti-rural masses and anti-peasants and, you know, I'm a urban bumpkin or whatever you'll call me. 10th of November, Friday.
It was a joint as well, Chair.
A joint meeting, yes. Mover and seconder there, 10th November. Please rush forward.
I saw move is in the most.
Now in history, Linda, you can show your grandchildren that you were there. You moved a
minute. Yeah, I'm going to lees.
I'm
going to fix the gestalt.
Okay, who's seconding and who's interfering with us?
I will second you.
Thank you, Fanny. Now, next one is 14 November. Am I right, matey? Mr. Secretary?
Yes, Chair, it's 14 November. It was another joint meeting as well.
Okay, right. Mover and seconder, please.
I'll move, Chairperson.
Thank you. Seconder.
I'm second it in the post.
Thanks, Linda. You're making lots of history here, as is Willie. 21st of November. Briefing by the National Treasury on the tax bills, these wonderful bills that you like. I wasn't there, but in any case, I'm not moving anyway. Right, Mama Rukhane chaired, so I don't think she should move. Is there a mover and seconder, please, apart from her? I think people are getting tired.
I'm so moved.
Okay, Willie beat you to it. I'm sorry to say you'll be making second important part of history. Okay, then we got, 29 November. Sorry, I'm being silly and it's wrong. I condemn myself. Note that in the minutes, colleague. The chairperson criticized himself for poor chairing and interfering unduly. Please put that down. Public hearings on the tax. Oh, yes, these lovely bills. I love these tax bills, don't you all? Okay, so anything there on page 2, 3, 4? Right, mover, seconder.
I'll move, Jay. It looks like I'm the quickest today with moving.
Yeah, but you won't be the quickest when it comes to the election, sadly, for your party. Okay, who's next? Come on, Linda. Show them what you
can do. I'm second it, Jay.
Okay, thank you, Linda. Hey, I think I must recommend you for a performance bonus. Okay, the next item is public procurement bill and related things. So on the program, right? Firstly, Nkululeko, I meant to contact you, but I got hauled with, phone calls. I remember asking you to consider us meeting on Friday afternoons. That was based on a view that the Appropriations Committee is probably going to take the Friday mornings, right? So can I get some clarity? We are meeting on Friday afternoon on the public hearing. So response from National Treasury on the public procurement bill. No, we're meeting on the public hearings on the Revenue Laws Amendment Bill. Why is it in the afternoon? In Kuleleko, can I just get a clarity on that?
Sorry, network problem. There's a, according to the program that I've viewed, there's a house sitting in the morning.
Of the NCOP?
That's correct, Chairperson.
Ah, that's the reason, right. Okay, so that's where we are. Okay, now colleagues, can I raise something as a process? You see, we could have given you a program that would change it again. What we would like to know, or what the chair would like to know before he sits with the secretary, metaphorically speaking, virtually, and shape the program, and we'll do it today. By the way, the ANC colleagues, comrades, we have to be at a 1 o'clock meeting at S35. I think you're aware of that. But we finished far earlier than I imagined. Okay, so here we are. What I want to ask is, you see, I mean, there's no choice between the two committees. We have to meet on Fridays. Now, I was wondering whether we should meet on Thursday nights and even Wednesday nights after the House sits. Give ourselves half an hour from the time the House sits and then sit at a committee. The reason for that is then Fridays, Saturdays, Sundays, and Mondays, we've got four clear days for campaigning. So maybe the the Appropriations Committee can also consider that. The other option, comrades, colleagues, is that the Appropriations Committee, SECOA meets in the morning, we meet in the afternoon. And sometimes we alternate. We sit in the morning, they sit in the afternoon. Is Tikileri here? I mean, I'll have to discuss it with her, and then we'll inform the committee secretary's position. I meant to raise it this morning in the study group, but I forgot. Right. So what is the, it's not a, like a mandated thing. There's no need for a mandate from parties. This is a simple thing. We must consider it and take it forward. Do we want to keep our Fridays clear? Which is what I'm suggesting. But if the majority say no, it shall be no. And then we use the evenings. And can I raise something else before you answer? Can you start with the opposition parties? Are you meeting every Thursday morning for caucus meetings? Because I know the ANC is not likely to meet much, maybe once in 3-4 weeks, if that, I don't know. But we're not meeting every Thursdays. Are your other parties meeting every Thursdays? Let's start with you, DA. Are your meetings still every Thursday morning?
Yes, we are meeting on most Thursdays, Jefferson.
Oh, so it's out there. Okay. So can we get a response from ANC members as well? Because I haven't canvassed this with you. I forgot this morning. What do you feel? Should we keep our Fridays free? In which case, between appropriations and ourselves, we will have to consider meeting in the evenings.
Honorable Chair?
Yep. Tani?
Honorable Chair, the Freedom Front Plus, we do have caucus meetings on Thursday mornings. And also, we must keep in mind the programming committee also sits on most of the Thursday mornings, but earlier, say 9
o'clock. Yes, I know. Now we're ruling out Thursday. Yeah, we're ruling out Thursday.
If you can keep the Fridays open, it will be appreciated. I want to ask if we must just make sure, and I said it this morning, I'm going to say it again. We want to know how many of these legislations needs to be passed that is time sensitive and not politically driven. Because that must be kept in mind. I mean, it's no use us working day and night with regards to processing bills and pushing it through just to push it through. I mean, I'm not scared to work. I mean, I can go right through. It's not a problem. But we must see to it that we focus on what is actually needed for and what will be in the best interest of the country. But my view is if we could keep the Fridays open, I will not attend a meeting on a Sunday. It's against my beliefs. But I keep the Fridays open because we already have programs that is scheduled in advance. I mean, we as MPs also have responsibilities, party political responsibilities in different districts of the provinces that we cannot neglect. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Anybody else got their hand up? Tikileri, my friend.
Chair, thank you. And good morning to all the members, your good selves. Chair, I don't really have a problem with the Friday evening, but I'm just skeptical because the joint meetings are scheduled for for Friday, and one is sharing one of the joint committee on financial management.
Oh yes, yeah.
Parliament. Yeah. So it's a bit hectic for me. I'm skeptical. I don't know.
Okay.
Won't
just a
consult
quick
with you?
Yeah, I was just going to say, can we talk offline? But remember, you said Friday evenings. We didn't suggest Friday. We suggested Thursday evenings, Wednesday evenings, and Tuesday evenings, obviously. Fridays, we're going to keep clear. What you're saying, if I understand you, Dikeledi, is that your joint committee meetings are still going to continue on Fridays. Is that correct? Every Friday, you'll meet.
Yes. Sometimes we even squeeze lunchtime.
All right. So that means that you will not be available on Fridays, which means that it's all the more reason why we should try to meet in these two committees, finance and appropriations, on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. Isn't that correct? That you would also want for other reasons for Fridays to be kept free.
That's correct, Chair. Whenever I'm available, I will be able to attend. But the issues of also of plenary, like you have raised some concern, sometimes they take longer and we have to travel. But whenever I'm available, I'm free, I will prioritize
I think we're all on the same page. Okay, we can't finalize everything. In principle, what we say, if I understand correctly, let me word it like this. And maybe in the minute you can register this. To the extent possible, comma, the committee will seek to avoid Friday sittings, full stop. Then we say, to the extent possible, comma, and in consultation with the Appropriations Committee, comma, and other parties represented in the committee, meetings will be held on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday evenings, comma, where the plenary sittings end at a reasonable time. Something like that, okay? Esther and Kuleka, you can fine-tune it. Is that what we're agreeing to?
Chairperson, can I quickly come in there?
Yeah.
Yeah, Chairperson, especially on Thursday afternoons, we've got to look at the flights that we take.
Yeah, I know that.
Thursday afternoon flight, and then we've got to drive 300 kilometers to my constituency, so it makes it difficult either Thursday afternoons or Friday afternoons.
All right, why don't we do this? Let's say Tuesday and Wednesday evenings. Is that okay? Leave out Thursday.
That works better than Thursday and Fridays, definitely.
Yeah, I know. Okay, then the next thing is, you see, maybe Dikeledi and I need to have a chat and connect with our secretaries at the same time. So a little Zoom meeting or a WhatsApp call meeting. These days, WhatsApp call meetings work very well. You just phone everybody on the chat. You see, what we can do is prioritize maybe appropriations bills, get them out of the way. So, you know, instead of cluttering it with both appropriations and finance bills at the same time, you know, if you concentrate on a bill, you'll find committee members are more familiar with the bill and they get it done. So we decide, okay, we want to focus on this bill of appropriations, let's finish it, right? So I want to focus on this bill of finance, let's all focus on finance now for this week. So in principle, I'm not saying we can do this thing, but in principle, is that not a reasonable approach? Look, it's effectively what we're saying is it's one committee that has got six bills, if I'm correct, right? So instead of progressing with six bills at the same time, Dikeledi and I talk about, hey, this, like the two-part bill has to go out as soon as possible, obviously, because of the 1st September deadline, right? Now, there may be bills that Dikileri says, hey, that's even more important, right? And so we will discuss it amongst ourselves that we focus on one bill and finish it. But we have to give time to the National Treasury. We're making two bills, National Treasury, to have time to reply. Does that seem a reasonable approach in principle? I don't want a full detailed discussion here. The practical, logistical things you can ask the two chairs to sort out. Is that agreeable, Comrade Dikileri? Let me ask Comrade Dikileri first, what she thinks.
Yes, I'm in content with what was said, sir.
Okay. So let's see between you and me when we can have a meeting with the secretaries. This week is so bad, but we should try to do it because then we can shape. Oh, sometime before Thursday morning, maybe. Okay, we'll discuss it offline. So we'll be agreeing on anything. So is there anything outstanding? Nope.
No, Chairperson.
We're done. Thank you, everybody. Keep well. Bye.